Hi guys, my name's Aaron, as you heard before. I look after Queensland Baptists, Baptist Unity Queensland Youth and Young Adult Ministries. Not really, I'm just, my role is to support, encourage and network youth and young adult pastors and key leaders. That's my role for Queensland Baptists. Nikki and myself, I'm married to Nikki. We've been married, I think 13 years. I think 13 years. I know what our anniversary is, but I just don't do maths. She's the maths person. Nikki teaches maths and statistics at Griffith University for the School of Biomedical Science. And I'd love to show you a photo of my wife, but we'll just wait till we catch up. And we have a son named Ezra, and he is 9. I know that for a fact because we just celebrated his birthday. It's a win. And he really enjoys gymnastics, really enjoys it, really enjoys basketball, but tolerates swimming in school, okay? We're planting a church at the moment in Maudsland, which means nothing to you. It's like, where we live is 10 minutes west of Movie World. So I'm from the Gold Coast. I've been on the Gold Coast. We worked out last night up in that room up there that I've been on the Gold Coast for 26 years. Is that right, Jake? Is that about right? It was about 26, 25, yep. So I've lived on the Gold Coast that whole time and I've only changed postcodes twice, and that's because someone made the decision to change things in our region. That's how it worked. So that's just a little bit about me. This is a good point. So I've been in youth ministry for 17 years. So from being a volunteer leader right through to my role now, which I've been in my role for 7 years as QB Youth and Young Adults. And over that time, I've learnt so much, but still know nothing about teenagers. Zip. With the way that culture goes, it's like it's a new thing every day. But some things stay the same. Some principles stay the same. And today, we're going to push into one of those principles for young adults, for youth, and for us. So we're going to be looking at the theme of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I understand that you guys have done the 24/7 prayer week for QB this week. And you've been, how cool is that? You guys bolted a door to the inside of your church so that people could come in and just sit in that room. That is just, that's awesome. Well done. And just remember, if you haven't yet and you want to, it's still open today, right? Like it's still till midnight. Come on. Sunday night party, 11 o'clock. Let's do it. I won't be here. I'll be home. You guys do it. That's a little bit about me and a little bit of encouragement for you guys. So we're going to be thinking through sitting at the feet of Jesus. At the moment, I am studying, same with my wife. So my wife just finished her master's. I'm doing my master's. She starts her PhD in July, probably July 10 at your 160th anniversary. I don't know. I don't know exact dates. But she starts her PhD. We're consistently learning. And one of the things that happened in the last 2 years was I started my master's in leadership. And it also happened to coincide with a thing called COVID-19. Does anyone remember the pandemic at all? Just so I get an idea of who's been living under a rock or on top of a rock. I'm not sure. That's a really bad dad joke right there. So you guys were affected by the pandemic, I suppose. Like I'm just generally, just a little bit, some form of, you know, it was a thing, right? So it was a thing. At the beginning of 2020, I started my master's. And during that time, God started to shake in me something. And that was, you're doing too much. You're running around like a headless chook. You're juggling so many balls all the time, consistently, and you're not slowing down. You're not sitting at my feet. I'm like, so this happened just before COVID. And then COVID happened, and everyone went into lockdown. I was like, if this isn't a message from God that I need to slow down, I don't know what is. So I'm thinking with Nikki, I'm like, okay, how do we do this? And so that was the beginning of us learning to slow down. The theme of slowing down was 2020. We were just about I think it was May 2020, we were getting ready to do a young adults event in the Whit Sundays, sitting around the idea, or around John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Pursuit. Cool, we're up to it, cool. The Ruthless Pursuit of Hurry. And we were gonna help young adults think through how to bring balance to their lives. We were thinking through how do we get the right people in the room? So we had some experts lined up to speak into bringing balance, how to slow down. And the irony of this is God's like, it ain't happening, pandemic, bang. The event went from postponed to canceled. The year of slow was very clearly the year of slow. 2020 became slow down time. In the midst of all of this, we're all juggling things. I'm juggling things all over the place. Nikki has to realign the way that she teaches. So she's going online. She's thinking through how any teachers in the room have to experience that. Maybe, maybe not. Yeah, for you? Yep. She was experiencing that with her students scattered across the world, trying to make sure that this stuff was happening. She was like, how do you slow down when you've got to speed up and get all this stuff sorted? And so we were thinking around as a family, how do we slow down? We got all these balls in, up, how do we, we're juggling all these things. We're juggling all sorts of things. Everyone in this room, hands up if you're juggling work and life and church and friends, all of that. Yeah, we are. Hey, we're all juggling a lot of things. Let me just make sure we're on the right slide here. Awesome. Let's go. Reels. What's this guy doing? Juggling. Yeah. Good one. So we're all paying attention over there, right down the back, yeah? Awesome. Brilliant. Rock and roll. We're all juggling all types of things. If you're a parent, you're juggling, you might be in the phase of life where you're juggling taking your child from this thing to the other thing, picking them up, dropping them off. You might be thinking about their well-being. Are they sick? Are they not? You're thinking through those things. You're cleaning. You're looking after the yard. You're cooking. And I haven't even thought it. You haven't even said anything about your physical health, your mental health, your spiritual health. And then you've got work on top of that. You're thinking through, how am I going to make sure that there's money in the bank to pay for the necessary and those unnecessary purchases? You're thinking through all this stuff. You're keeping them all up in the air. And you're struggling with all that. And then we jump to the young adults in the room. The young adults in the room, you're thinking through all sorts of stuff. So just go through this. We got like, your relationships. That's a whole thing. Your identity, that's a whole thing. And even identity for us as adults, we're thinking that through as well. We've got the relationships and the identity, who I am, where I belong sort of thing going on. And as a young adult, you're thinking, who am I going to have a relationship with? Where am I going to move out? And if so, who am I going to move out with? Am I going to get married? Then who to? When is this going to happen? There's so much going on for everyone in this room. You got work, you got relationships, you got your own personal health, you got your own personal spiritual health, and then you've got to be friends with people as well. That comes from an introvert, sorry. You got to deal with those, you got to deal with that as well. There's so many balls in the air all the time, countless. I think juggling balls. Anyway, does anyone here know how to juggle? No, that was a firm no. All right. No, okay, cool. We're going to go with no, anyone at all. Well, anyway, juggling is a pretty cool skill to have. It's a hard skill, but it's completely unnecessary. Okay. But juggling life, juggling work-life balance is a hard skill. But it's hard to learn, but it's necessary. Finding helpful rhythms in our lives to make sure that we are doing all the things. Does anyone really feel that? Like, we got so much on our plate. Does anyone feel you might have too much on your plate, or you got so much on your plate? Yeah, a bunch of us. Thanks for your honesty. Bunch of us feel as there's so much going on. We're juggling everything. One of the CEOs of Coca-Cola, Brian Dyson. Let's show this guy's pretty face. There he is. He was the CEO of Coca-Cola from 86 to 91. So when I was 0 to 5, is that good maths, I think? So he was the CEO, and he got the opportunity to present at Georgia Tech University. And he gave this address. At the very end of his address, he said this: lastly, I would caution you that as intelligent and active participants in a dynamic society like America, Rockhampton, Gracemere, Yeppoon, Emu Park, Queensland, Gold Coast. Dynamic society. You must bring balance to your lives. Imagine life as a game in which you are juggling some 5 balls in the air. You name them: work, family, health, friends, and spirit. And you're keeping all these in the air, all of them. You soon will understand that work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it will bounce back. But the other 4 balls, family, health, friends, and spirit, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, they will be irrevocably scuffed, marked, nicked, damaged, or even shattered. They will never be the same. You must understand and strive for balance in your life. This speech made its rounds and on the internet, and people said it was this person and this person and this person wrote it, but it was Brian Dyson in 91. And a whole bunch of bloggers jumped onto it and they started going, "Oh, well, how do we do this? What does this look like? How do we do this? Cool speech. Yeah, this is awesome." So one blogger, I culled this one a little bit. One blogger mentioned 10. He mentioned 10 ideas of how we can bring some balance to our lives. Or how do we see ourselves? We're just saying who you say I am. This guy's kind of pulled together some ideas. I don't agree with most of them, but I thought I'd just add some tension. Don't set your goals by what other people deem important. Only you know what is best for you. Now, I agree with this in part. I agree with this one because Scripture informs us how to live. So it's not up to me how I live. It's up to Scripture to tell me how to live. So as Christians, brothers and sisters, we have a really cool book that is actually not just cool. It is the greatest book on life and faith. We go to that to go, okay, is this all right to do? Yes or no? Okay, I will go with that. So we're able to work out our goals or what seems important by Scripture alone. Full stop. Don't take for granted the things closest to your heart. Cling to them as you would your life, for without them, life is meaningless. Now, this is a tricky one, because didn't Jesus say, pick up your cross and follow me? Don't take for granted the things closest to your heart. Well, if Jesus is closest to our heart and we pick up our cross, what does that mean? That means that we're taking our cross to share the love of Christ, right? That's how I see that. So it can be, you know, that makes our lives meaningful. So I'm going to skip a few. I'm going to go with this one. I like this one. Don't use time or words carelessly. Has anyone seen the toothpaste analogy of words? Has anyone ever squeezed the whole container of toothpaste onto a plate and said, "Hey, your words are like this toothpaste. Get the toothpaste back into the container." Has anyone ever done that? That's a clear illustration that you can't get that time. You can't get that toothpaste back in the jar, and time and words are like that. You can't get them back. So use them wisely. And number 10, life is not a race, but a journey to be savored each step of the way. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That is why we call it the present. How good's that? Well, it's not. All of this stuff is not great. Like Brian Dyson, great, great quote. Old mate blogger, coolest, cool ideas. You can read more if you want the slides. You can grab them afterwards. They're free for you guys. They're just free to have. Look, these are great ideas, but what does Scripture say? What is Scripture going to tell us? That's more important, right? Like, I've quoted this CEO and I've quoted this blogger, but what does Scripture say? So grab your Bibles out and turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. If you don't have your Bibles, I've got it up on the screen, and we'll be reading from the ESV. While you do that, let me give you some context. Luke 10, 38 to 42 sits between the parable of the Good Samaritan and the Lord's Prayer. It sits between those. Now, these three give an insight to one of the key themes of Luke. and that is my favorite word, discipleship. It is the most, one of the most important themes in Luke is discipleship. The Good Samaritan speaks of how we are to love and care for our neighbor, and the Lord's Prayer teaches us how to pray. And our passage today focuses on spending time with Jesus in our juggling of crazy things, the juggling of life. So let's read. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I wonder where you find yourself in that text. It is likely that you have found yourself resonating with Martha. I know I do. I find myself running around like a headless chicken all the time, well, at times, leading QB youth and young adults, planting a church, being a husband, being a father, being a friend, cooking, cleaning, driving, learning, pastoring, hosting Mr. Perfect Maudlin, and always missing, well, not always, but a lot of missing the better thing, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Rushing from one thing to the next, even from one Netflix series to an Amazon Prime series, still always forgetting the better thing. The great messy juggle of busy. We all find ourselves in that, and if we're not in it now, we're going to find ourselves in it soon or later. Martha was caught up in all the things that needed to be done by a first century woman, while in her mind, possibly, Mary was doing the opposite, or there was some sort of sibling squabble of she's not helping. Anyone been in that? She's not helping, he's not helping. Any siblings in the room kind of have those interactions? This could have been going on for Mary and Martha. Jesus, Mary's not doing anything, help me out. And he's like, "No, she's chosen the right thing." You see, in this you're probably thinking that doing things is probably bad if you read it out of context, but Martha was doing the things that needed to be done, and they were good things. And I reckon we find ourselves all doing really good things. So if we look at ministry specifically, you're doing all good things. Yeah, if you're leading or if you're part of a ministry and you guys are doing some outreach or some mission, you're doing really good things. You're doing the job that's going on that needs to happen. But you might not have any time to sit with Jesus because you're doing so much. And you forget that. And this is what Jesus is pushing on. He's like, yeah, you're doing all these things that are good, but you probably should be sitting with me as well. How do you do that, Jesus? That's impossible. Taking time to sit with Jesus. It is likely that you are like Martha and me. You are juggling all the good things we enjoy and are passionate about and excited to do as we influence others, but you forget to sit at the feet of Jesus or have never sat at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus can be peaceful, hopeful, lovely. It can also be a time of deep reflective work, where you allow him to help you by his Holy Spirit sort out your anger, your malice and bitterness. He wants to do these things in your life. Romans 8:28-29. States, "For those who love God, all things work together for good." We generally stop there. It's like all good things. We're Christians now, we get all the good stuff abundantly. But it says, "For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed conformed, made like the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among brothers. Jesus wants to help us become more like him. And if we're not sitting with him, we can't be more like him. By his Holy Spirit, this is possible. And you may have heard this all before. You know, you got to sit with Jesus. You got to have a devotion time. You got to do this. You probably heard it all before. But I'm encouraging that again. Since, like, you're probably like me, since you're juggling so much that you forget. So I implore you again to sit at his feet and allow him to do his work in you. Our personal discipleship needs this time with him. And therefore, we should prioritize this time with him, being attentive to him, giving the focus to him, and for a time ceasing the things that need to be done. Now, there's a harsh statement. Stop the things that need to be done and sit at his feet. It's not procrastination. It's going to him and sitting for a time to focus on the one who has sent you to do those things. Whether it's in your workplace, whether it's at the church, whether it's doing ministry or mission somewhere else, whatever it looks like, wherever you find yourself, sit at the feet of Jesus so he can transform you and conform you to himself so that you are more potent, more helpful when you do those things. This time of ceasing might look different for everyone. It may be you alone reading the scriptures or silently reflecting on your day while asking for forgiveness, showing him gratitude and calling out for help. It may be sitting in a quiet place, overlooking the beach or walking through the bush, chatting with God and seeking guidance, repenting and being with him. Sitting with Jesus is not just sitting like Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is being with Jesus. Being with Jesus, spending time with him, making this a priority is key to know the will he has for you. The psalmist writes, "Your word is a light to my feet and a light to my path." Jesus is the word. We read in John's gospel that he was the word at the beginning, and that word was God, not a God, God. Jesus being the creator of all things, as Paul reminded the church at Colossae, for by him all things were created. We can know the path set before us by spending time with Jesus. Opening your Bible, sitting, praying, reflecting. But this is not always easy, but nothing of worth ever is. If you do not already have a plan or a rhythm to spend time with Jesus, start with simply finding a time in your diary and pencil it in. Actually, no, don't use a pencil. Use a big, black, fine tip, the biggest Nikko you can find, the biggest texter, whatever word it is that you use for permanent markers, get that out and write, this is where I'm going to meet with Jesus. And give it a crack. Give it a go. It might not work straight away. And that's fine. That's fine. Review it. Does that time slot actually work for me? No. Okay, well, what could? Review it, then replace it and set that until you get some form of rhythm. You can have a read of heaps of books. There's Tim Charlie's blog or his book. You can jump on his blog. That's Tim Charlie's. You can have a read of David Allen's GTD. Yeah, Getting Things Done. You can have a read of that. But there, you know, that's okay. That's helpful. Or you could set that time in your diary and ask one of your brothers or sisters, one of your family members at home, one of your close mentors, friends, or pastors to keep you accountable to that time. Now, like, you might all think right now, I'll just call Brett on Monday morning to say, hey, can you keep me accountable to this? That'd be a very, very long day. Maybe just talk to each other. Can you keep me accountable to this? Can you keep me accountable for meeting with Jesus at 8:30 a.m. every morning, please? Now, that's a reflection of me. So I meet with Jesus. I try and do this every single day, to sit at the feet of Jesus at 8:30 a.m. after I've taken Nikki and Ezra to their places, have come back to close to my home. I sit there with my $1 7-Eleven coffee, and I just sit in the park bench as much as I possibly can. But I know as soon as I get there, that's what I'm doing. It's become such a rhythm that when I get there, that's what I do. I could be sitting on my phone, scrolling through Insta, going through Facebook, reading my emails, but my body, my mind knows that that's the time that I click and I sit and sit at the feet of Jesus. You might already have that time. You might already have that. And I encourage you to keep on doing it. And if you are already in that space where you are doing it, maybe you're in a place of encouragement to those that haven't found it yet. So maybe that's a question that you might want to ask others. Hey, when do you meet Jesus? Not in a condescending, judgmental way, but as an encouraging way of, hey, how do we do this together? This is important. This is very important to your discipleship. This year, the Queensland Baptist movement is focusing on servant leadership. And I believe if we are going to be servant leaders, we must spend time with Jesus regularly. Y'all are going into, you're going to be thinking through some growing young stuff over the coming, time frame. Over the time, we're doing some growing young stuff today, Sally and I. And you can't, I think, this is my opinion, I don't think we can lead if we don't know the heart of God. We can't lead well if we don't know the heart of God. We can just do leadership, but how do we lead well if we don't know the will of God? How do we do that? Well, we can't. That's my idea, my thoughts, and maybe yours as well. For us to lead our families, work environments, ministries, and other places, we require Him to be influencing us. Let me say that again. So that we can lead our ministries, workplaces, school environments, whether that's university or the schoolyard, wherever we find ourselves, so that we can influence well, we need to be influenced by Jesus first. We want, I don't know, maybe this is your heart, but I'm just going to take a snapshot. You guys want, I want Queensland to know Jesus. That's what I want. I want that not because I'm just like in my role or anything like that. I desire to have people meet Jesus. That is what's in me. And I can't do that if I'm not influenced by Him, because I become selfish. Because my eyes are so on me, my struggles, my juggles. But when I sit and look at Jesus, my heart turns to, actually, I need to witness. I need to influence others so that they might too look at Jesus and sit at His feet. That all being said, here we are. We're all together. On a Sunday morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. So why don't we just sit at the feet of Jesus together? Why don't we take some time now, 3 to 5 minutes, where we're just going to stop, be silent, reflect, think, pray to God silently, sit at Jesus' feet. And if it's helpful for you, have your Bible open to a part where you might be reading in your devotion, where you're up to, read scripture, reflect. Let's sit at the feet of Jesus together. For the next 3 to 5 minutes, we will pause, be still, be silent, read scripture if that's helpful. I'll also have some scriptures up on the board as well. You'll need your Bible for those, because there's too many. Have a read through those, reflect on those, observe them, and where helpful, ponder. But pray silently. Let's continue this week of prayer with QB, together praying for personal revival. Let's sit in that. Confess Confess to him. Ask, seek repentance. Let's do that together, silently, where we're sitting. Let's do that now.
Lord, in the stillness. We recognize your voice, and even when we don't, Lord, you speak still. We're not used to the quiet, but I pray, Lord, that you will speak into our life. We trust you, Lord, as we set you as a priority, that you will guide us. That as we intentionally make time to be still, that you would speak to us. Lord, we know that you enjoy our company and that you speak into our hearts directly because of the Spirit. We thank you that we are under the new covenant, where we don't have to be in a certain place at a certain time or follow a certain ritual before we get to hear from you. But into each of our hearts you speak, and you've done that this morning. I pray that you'll continue to do that. Lord, we give our lives to you because you gave yours to us. And there is a grand promise of eternal future with us. And so we're very happy, Lord, to follow you with our lives. I pray, Lord, that this week of prayer that we've been on will draw us nearer to you, and that each of us would have an encounter that makes you even more real in our life. So that by the overflow of what you're doing in our life, we might bless others. So we thank you today. Lord, we want to continue to speak to you and to have you speak into our lives as well. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be right back.